We're reading first in the book of Ruth, and in Ruth chapter 1, which you will find on page 267 in the Pew Bible. Ruth chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought that there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God my God. And where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And then we read together in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 12, and reading from verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. But to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then, no one dared ask him any more questions. Amen. And may God bless to us the reading of his word.
Let us pray. Lord God, be with us now as we look at your word. May your Spirit help us to hear your voice speaking to our hearts and minds, and ready to be transformed for your glory and kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may have heard of a remarkable woman called Joni Erickson Tada. She was unfortunately injured in a diving accident at the tender age of 17 back in 1967. She broke her neck and became quadriplegic and paralysed from the shoulders down. And she had to endure so much physical suffering and also had to come to terms with the fact that age 17, she had lost many of her bodily functions. And she suffered a deep, deep depression. But she gradually came back to her relationship with God. Despite the strugglings, despite the suffering, she became strong in her faith. And as a testimony to the world of when we are weak, God is strong. Her story is not one of bitterness and despair as we might imagine it to be, but one of love and victory. And I would recommend you looking at her inspirational blog that she has online. Joni has learnt to do many things since she became injured, and one of these was to learn to paint. She hadn't the use of her hands, so she learnt how to hold the paintbrushes in her mouth, and she paints the most amazing paintings. And she signs her paintings PTL, Praise the Lord. She's also written many Christian books, but her most far-reaching work is her advocacy on behalf of disabled people, which has won her many awards and honours. Her story is quite remarkable. Through her suffering, she never took her eyes off Jesus. She didn't go under, but used her circumstances to bring God's light to serve other people. And her story has encouraged millions to turn their life over to Jesus. Joni listened to Jesus instead of letting her life turn inwards towards self-pity and grief. She let Jesus heal her, and she set her life in service to him. And in doing this, Joni discovered the real purpose to her own life. And in today's scripture in the book of Ruth, we hear of a similar story that really captures the heart. A story of bravery, of faith and obedience to God, which I hope will encourage us today to be better followers of Jesus. And what's so special about the story of Ruth is that she's just an ordinary woman. She doesn't come from a great position or from a famous godly family. In fact, she's a widow from the enemy nation with no prospects. Yet God moves so mightily in her story. when we come to the story of Naomi and Ruth, a mother and daughter-in-law, we have a beautiful story of love, loyalty and commitment, which demonstrates the power of a faithful life with God. And in the book of Ruth, we don't see God's voice thunder down like in other stories, and we don't see miraculous happenings that change everything. What we do see is Ruth's life being gradually led by God. And at the end, you can look back and see how God orchestrated natural events for his glory. There are so many things we could learn from this amazing story of Ruth, but I just want to focus on one point today. We should never underestimate the power of a faithful life with God. So at the beginning of the book of Ruth, Ruth is living in her home nation of Moab, a place and people that the Israelites had frowned upon. On top of that, she had lost her husband and is now living as a widow with her mother-in-law. She also had lost her husband without having any children. The pain that Ruth must have been in was immense. And Ruth had so many reasons why she should shrink into a shell and live in obscurity. I guess the way Joni Erickson could have chosen. And I'm sure many of us have experienced times in our own lives when we could have let the past hold us back. Hold us back from fully living. But Ruth didn't allow her past to hold her back. She believed that she still had a life to live and continued to move forward. And she decided to do that by following Naomi to Israel and trusting in her God. Ruth did this despite Naomi urging Ruth and Orpah to go back to their mother's homes. She said, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." And Naomi convinced Orpah not to follow her, but Ruth refused and clung to Naomi. Naomi again tries to persuade Ruth not to go with her, but Ruth pleads, saying, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth was determined to follow Naomi anywhere, knowing it included worship of Naomi's God. And this gives us some insight into Naomi's life. It must have been a powerful witness to the reality of God, as Ruth not only was drawn to her, but also to the God that she worshipped. Ruth showed remarkable faith for such a young believer, faith that was still a purpose to her life ahead, faith to believe that God was who he said he was, and faith to believe that God would provide for her and for Naomi. And Ruth showed this faithfulness despite her circumstances. Her husband was dead. She was a poor widow. And she could have gone back to live with family and friends like Orpah. But Ruth chose to stay with Naomi and to help her. Ruth knew that Naomi had lost so very much and that she needed a friend. And she trusted in Naomi's God. God's greatest commandment to us is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Ruth was clearly demonstrating this commandment. Her love for Naomi was self-sacrificing, and she put her trust and faith in Yahweh. She said, "Your God shall be my God." Ruth's life was guided faithfully towards God and showed itself in faithfulness towards the people that she knew. We should never underestimate the power of a faithful life with God. And perhaps one of the best parts of Ruth's story is the legacy God established through her. Because of Ruth's faithfulness, God took her out of a corrupt and godless background and gave her a home with his people. And if you read on to chapter 2, you will see how God met all Ruth's physical needs when she went to the fields to glean for barley. And then if you read on to chapter 3 and 4, God gave Ruth a new husband, the generous and kind Boaz, and they conceived a child. That child would go on to be an ancestor of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. Ruth, a Moabite, was made part of the family of Christ. God's plan for Ruth was more wonderful than anything that she could have imagined. And if we commit our lives to God and our calling is firm in him, there is no limit to what God can do through us. We can all leave a legacy to our families and those around us. A legacy of faith and faithful living in Jesus. We should never underestimate the power of a faithful life with God. I've shared before, but I became a Christian because a friend witnessed to me the power of a faithful life with God. I was living my way, but my friend was living God's way. And when I saw how God was guiding my friend in the decisions that she made, I decided I needed that in my life too. Her steady faith was a witness to me, and I trusted my friend enough to be guided back into church, where I began to hear God speak to me directly. And do you know, 70% of people will come to faith in Jesus Christ through the faithful witness of a friend. 70%. So the book of Ruth helps us to understand that we should never underestimate the power of a steady and faithful life with God. Ruth and Naomi were faithful to God when others in their society were abandoning God's way and doing as they pleased. And God used their faithfulness to fulfill his purpose. Ruth was an ancestor to Jesus. And in Jesus we have the perfect example of faithfulness and self-sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross so that we no longer had to earn our favour with God. And now we can unload our burdens at the foot of the cross, freeing us to fully receive from Jesus and God's Spirit. It is only through Jesus we have the ability to live faithful lives rich in joy and peace and love and gentleness as the Spirit takes hold of our souls. And this is just amazing news. No matter where you've come from or what you've been through, God has a plan for each and every one of us. We have the power to live purposeful lives because of Jesus. And we are living currently in a world not too dissimilar to the time of Judges. And we are encouraged to look after number one. And there are so many distractions in our world too. People idolise their jobs or money or status. And we have more and more material things to occupy us. And it's all too easy to lose sight of God and his ways. But in our faithful living to God through Jesus, he has the power to change hearts, transform lives, and impact our communities. We should never underestimate the power of a faithful life with God. People are watching how we are living our lives in the hard times and in the good times. People who do not yet know Jesus are watching and learning from us. The decisions that we make, the words that we use to talk to one another, the relationships that we have and how we treat people. A couple of weeks ago, I was at a conference as part of my training as a candidate in the ministry, and we were hit with some very difficult statistics about the steady and rapid decline of the church in Scotland and of the shortage of ministers that we have. But we know that despite these desperate figures, we are in a society today where people are spiritually hungry. Church attendance might be declining, but spirituality is alive and well. And unfortunately, more and more people are reaching out to New Age practices to feed their souls. So we need to show people Jesus. We need to put our faith into action. And I believe when we take every God-given opportunity to show others what faithful living with God looks like, and this comes from how we speak to and treat our neighbour and how we serve our community and immediate family, we can be bringing people closer to knowing Jesus. For me, faithful living with God often means having the awareness and the humility to say to my children and husband and family when I'm wrong and to ask for their forgiveness. And also having the grace to forgive those who hurt me. We know Jesus brings healing and wholeness and a purpose to our being. But we need to have the confidence to share the good news and to demonstrate this love and faithfulness in our service to others. The church is declining at such a rate that it needs a complete change in attitude to how we see church and our faith. Our faith can no longer be a private affair, and ministry to others involves the whole people of God. And this means me and you, not just the ministry team and elders. We are all disciples of God with different giftings to serve God and his kingdom in different ways. And we each have a different story to tell. Can we share our personal stories, why our faith matters, how our faith has sustained us in the good times and the bad times, how God has blessed our lives? And can we model this open living and of faith to our children? And are we open to learning about God from our children? Naomi witnessed to Ruth about God through the way she lived her life. Today, let us be inspired by the story of Ruth to be faithful followers of God, followers that point the way to Jesus and that witness to the transforming power of the gospel. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came, you spoke, you lived, you showed the way, you suffered, you died, you beat death and hell. Live in us and through us. May our lives, our words, our tears, our work all show and tell the world of your great love. Amen.